Well, thank you so much for your feedback from last week's talk. And thanks so many of you for listening to it again. Many of you have done that, I know, either on your home or in the home group, and I really appreciate your taking the time to listen again to what I had to say. The good news is that I think most of you have listened to the talk again. The bad news is I'd like you to listen to this week's talk all over again as well. And again, it might be a little bit longer than usual. I really appreciate the feedback. I've had a lot of feedback, and I'll try and pick up some of the comments that I've had. But for those who were not here last week and those who were, I'm just going to give you a quick resume of what I covered last week, and then I'm going to focus on this week's topic. And last week, I began by explaining that I believe we have reached a pivotal point in the life of our church. And I quoted an old story of a missionary, and he was asked the secret of his success. And he said, I just find out what God is doing and join in. I find out what God is doing and join in. So what is God doing among us now? And how can we join in? And I began by looking back to March 2011, shortly after I came here as minister. And we had a vision day. And after that, we put together a vision strategy for our church, which you can get a copy of at the back there. And we put together five key objectives: that we should be larger, younger, deeper, wider, stronger. Everything that we did would fulfill one of those objectives. And then a few months later, we developed four key values: that we should do this by loving, learning, and serving together. And that's been our roadmap. But I believe that God is subtly changing. There we are. That's our vision strategy. There you go. I believe God is subtly changing our direction. And the subtle change in direction is this. First of all, that he wants to move us from a vision for all saints to a vision for the church as a whole in Swanage, and from a church focus to a kingdom focus. And I also explained there were two reasons why I believe God was moving us in that direction. And the first thing was that what God was doing amongst us, and that there's a remarkable degree of cooperation amongst the churches in Swanage. We work brilliantly together, but so much of what we do that's really valuable is done together. Things like the carnival service, things like the open air service, above all, the WAVE project, remarkable degree of cooperation amongst the churches here, completely ecumenical youth work project. You don't see that in a lot of places. And we have to work together, first of all, because we want to effectively reach the people of this town with the gospel. And actually, lots of small churches trying to do their own thing just isn't going to cut the mustard. All right. And secondly, because Jesus is really clear that we have to follow his injunction. And his injunction, his request to us, is that we should be one. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that's us, that they may be one. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. If we are one, then the world have got a chance of believing that Jesus sent, that God sent Jesus. If we're bickering amongst ourselves, there's no chance. All that will happen is the world will look at the divisions. The second reason why I believe that God is changing our direction is the way that God has spoken prophetically. And I talked last week about a word and a vision and a picture, a number of pictures that have been given to Dave Brock of Emmanuel Baptist Church in August and September 2008. And he had a remarkable picture of the power of God sweeping into Swanage and Purbeck like a wave. And can you imagine the power of God coming in like that? But the picture that he had was different people on different surf pools holding hands together on top of the wave, okay? And surfing it. And we had some words which backed that up, really, and that God was just asking us to move together, but to move decisively to hear what God had to say for our town. And a number of four members of our church, Anne, Rick, Pauline, and Mervyn, went off to a prophetic conference organized by Bethel Church. That was in July. And they went forward for prophecy. And there was nothing on them to identify where they came from, but we had some remarkable words that came out. And the first one was this: I see a rock, and it's got a hole going right through it. If I look through the rock, I can see the sea. I believe God is saying, you're nearly there. The hole's getting bigger. A real sense that the God was moving and that we were getting close to the point where he would break through. And here's the next one. I see a beach community. I believe God is saying that the methods that you would use in a town or a city won't work for a beach community. You need to seek God for creative ideas to reach out to your community. At which point, they told her where they came from, and she was duly staggered. My conclusion about that is it must be God. Only God can speak into our situation so precisely. Whoops. Here we are. I'll come on to that in a minute. So the hole's getting larger. You're nearly there. We need to seek God for the right way through to reach our community for Jesus. So where does that leave us, at All Saints? Well, first of all, I believe that God is not just going to move in All Saints. I believe God is going to move in the whole of the church in Swanage. And secondly, one more thing. Jesus, you know, didn't preach the church. He had plenty of opportunities to preach church. Didn't do that. What did he preach? He preached the kingdom, not the church. He preached the kingdom of God. Jesus is going to build the church, but we're called to preach the church, that we're called to preach the kingdom, not the church, which means that God intends us to be a people focused on building the kingdom, not building the church. Well, I've been talking about the kingdom of God. Last week, we ran over what does it mean? What does it mean, this term, the kingdom of God? What does that mean? And what it means is this. It doesn't mean a geographical area. It doesn't mean a political entity. It means the rule or reign of God. Do you remember that verse in Psalm 145? Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So it's the rule or reign of God. But what does that mean in practice? What does it mean? It means the power of God dynamically breaking into people's lives and changing them. And we see this, and we saw this in the ministry of Jesus. We saw it in the early church. The power of God dynamically breaking into people's lives. So what would it mean for us here in Swanage as part of the greater church in Swanage? What does that mean? What does it mean when the kingdom of God comes? I believe it means this. The kingdom of God has come when my life, the life of my family and the life of my community has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has come when my life, the life of my family and the life of my community has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, interestingly enough, that I used that phrase last week and actually raised some questions in one of the home groups. But I hope it's not too hard to grasp, because the point is the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God has an impact at every level. First of all, it's personal. How does the kingdom of God impact my life up close and personal? How does that work? And I'm going to pick that up in a moment. Next, who do I most care about? I most care about my family. I most care about my closest friends. I most care about, actually, my immediate church family. You know, I'm very attached to the whole church in Swanage, but you're the guys I care most about, okay? You're my closest friends, all right? You're my closest family, okay? And therefore, I long for the kingdom of God to impact all of us. I want him to impact the whole of Swanage and the whole of the church family in Swanage, but I really, really want him to impact us here, okay? And that's not me being parochial, just because you're my closest family. Is that fair? And then finally, I long for the kingdom of God to impact our community. And what can I do to help this happen? Well, don't forget, I also said last week, this will take some focus. That's what being disciples means. You remember Jesus says, go out into all the world and make disciples. That means learning on the job in a focused, deliberate way. And we need to devote some serious time to this, which is what we're going to do next Saturday on the 4th of October. And a number of people are wondering why we're meeting together, where we're meeting. Okay, we're meeting here in this building. We're going to meet 9:30 for 10, 9:30 for coffee and cakes, all right? We're going to meet from 10 till 4, And we're going to have a little break at lunchtime. Could you please bring some lunch? Okay, but we'll give you coffees and teas and stuff. A very good friend of mine called Lynn Chikuti, who's a pastor of a church in Reading and a very experienced church growth specialist is going to be coming along as well. She's going to be helping us through the day. She's going to be the facilitator. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to explore some key questions. What would it mean for the kingdom to come in your life, family, friends, community? I mean, what would it look like on the ground? What would you see? What are you hoping to see? Okay, when that happens, how can we as a church help you to enable that to become a reality? I mean, what kind of preaching would you like to hear and teaching? What kind of training would you like? What kind of groups should we set up? How should we use this building? How should we go out of this building? All of that. How can we help you to do that? What is God calling each one of us to do to answer the call of God in our lives? So, a little bit of focus time. Lord, how are you challenging me? All right? And what creative ideas do you have to reach out to our community? Remember, God said we need to seek God for creative ideas. Now look, you know, we believe in the priest of all believers in this church, don't we? Okay? We can all hear from God. We're all priests. That's what our verse of the year says. So we can all hear from God, and all the wisdom of this church does not reside in the vicar. Thank God. All right? So what creative ideas have you got to reach out to your community? And how do we as a church and as individuals need to change? That's a challenging one, isn't it? How can we change? So that's the ground we plan to cover next Saturday. And can I just say that we really need each one of you there. If you are a committed member of this church, however young, however old, we really need you to be there, all right? Unless you're having a life-saving operation, okay, or you're getting married, or, you know, or something like that, okay? You need to be there. You need to be there, okay? If this family counts, and it's really important. If you're not there, a key member of our family is not there. It's like somebody's getting married and a really key member of the family is not there. You'd feel the gap, wouldn't you? Or it's a birthday and a key member of the family is not there. You'd feel the gap. If you're not there, we'll feel the gap. And your ideas count. You might be an agile clocker or a breakfast at 9 or a 10:30er. Whatever you are, you may be in a home group, you may not be there. If you're not there, there'll be part of the family missing. Please, please come along. And if you could let me know, that would be great, because I need to know how many cakes to get, all right? I'm in charge of getting the cakes, as you can imagine, because I like cake. So please do come along. Okay, I'm sorry to repeat all that, but it's a kind of important foundation to lay down. So, we're looking at this week now. How does the kingdom of God come in my life? Because if the kingdom of God hasn't come in my life, how can I present him authentically to those who I live amongst? And the first thing I want to say is that when the kingdom of God comes in our lives, you're never the same again. We're never the same again. Because when the rule of God is apparent in someone's life, it's truly, truly life-changing. And you can tell that just by looking at the Gospels and Acts. At every level, people's lives were turned upside down when they encountered Jesus Christ. We can expect to see them different. And we can see that. If you look, what did Jesus say? Luke chapter 4, he goes straight into the synagogue at Nazareth. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that's radical stuff. That's the word to sum that up. The word is radical. Radical. And that's what happened. People were healed. The blind literally received their sight. You can't get much more radical than that if you happen to be blind. People were set free of demons. Hundreds of demons sometimes. The man who had full of demons, completely delivered. That's pretty radical, you know? And there were some who couldn't take it. It was too radical for them. The rich young ruler came to say, "Look, I want to follow you." And Jesus says, he looks at them, he says, "You know your problem? Your problem is your money. Go and give it away." He just couldn't do it. He couldn't hack it. Just couldn't hack it. But contrast Peter. Peter, In Luke chapter 5, what happens with Peter in Luke chapter 5 is he's asked to go and he's asked by Jesus to let down his nets. He ends up with a boat full of fish and then another boat full of fish worth hundreds or thousands of pounds. And Jesus says, leave it all. And he leaves it all. And then radical repentance. Remember Zacchaeus? He'd spent a professional lifetime ripping the people of Jericho off in tax collection. Comes face to face with Jesus. He offers to give half his wealth away. And anybody he's conned, he promises to give them four times as much in compensation. Radical, radical stuff. But there's a key point here. A radical encounter with Jesus begins with a radical assessment of who we are. So let's go back to Luke 5, the calling of Peter. Very familiar story. I've already told you about it. Jesus, Peter already knew Jesus. He'd seen him heal his mother-in-law. He then, Jesus was teaching from his boat. Do you remember? If you go to Capernaum, I'm sorry, you can see just the kind of bays that Jesus would have used to teach from the boat. There's a kind of they're kind of circular bays in the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's an amazing place. And then Jesus tells Peter to put the boat out and let down the nets. And it's obviously a stupid idea because you don't fish first thing in the morning, you fish at night. And anyway, how does a builder from Nazareth know what's going on? Peter's the fisherman. But Peter obeys and he has this massive catch of fish. Fills two boats full of fish. Now, what's Peter's response? What would your response be? Maybe my response might be, wow, guess how much this is worth? Or, wow, I'm going to take you fishing with me next time. He doesn't do that. He does this. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Can you see? Peter already knew Jesus, but this was the point of radical encounter. And when he radically encountered Jesus, he realized who the Lord was, and it brought him face to face with his own sinfulness. And you know, some people find our sinfulness really hard to grasp. And I don't blame them, because I'm looking at you now, and you look lovely people. You look such lovely people. How can you be sinners? How can I be a sinner? Well, probably you can believe I'm a sinner, but I can't believe you're sinners, all right? I can't believe it, all right? Because you look so lovely. But although in the eyes of the world we're not all sinners, in the eyes of God we are. And without Jesus, we remain in our sinfulness. This is what the Lord says in Isaiah 64. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Same in Acts chapter 2, we had read to us. The Holy Spirit comes in power on the first disciples. A crowd gathers. What's going on? Why are these guys proclaiming the words of God? How come they're speaking in these languages? Peter gets up. What does he say? He doesn't say, we've just had a really nice experience, you know. The Holy Spirit came, we had tongues of fire, we had some wind. Never seen this before. Speaking in tongues, it's really great, you know. It's far more radical than that. What does he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Repent. Sure, you know this already, but the Greek word for repent is metanoia. And what metanoia means, you're facing one way, okay, and you turn around the other way, okay? I'm going that way. Now, that kind of assumes that that's the wrong way, completely the wrong way. You might try hard to go that way, but actually you're facing the wrong way. And God says, go that way, okay? And the reality is, that unless we understand we're sinners through and through, there's nothing we can do to help ourselves, however hard we try. That doesn't mean to say that every single thing we do is bad. Obviously, human beings left to themselves are capable of great acts and kindness, but deep down inside, we're sinners still. Despite the good things we do, we're sinful. And salvation will always be out of reach. But there's something important here also, which we need to understand. You know, there's no way that we can present the gospel authentically to the world unless we come with humility. And you know why? Because unless we come with humility, when we talk about forgiveness, what people will hear is, I'm saying I'm better than you. You know, non-Christians always say that. You're saying you're better than me. And we might say, well, actually, we're not. We're just saying we're forgiven. And that the mere fact we say we're forgiven makes people think we're saying we're better than them. Have you noticed that? It's true, isn't it? How many times have you heard that? Okay. So, humility. What's humility? Okay, here's the Andrew Cork definition of humility. Okay, it's not saying I'm worthless. Clearly we're not worthless. Clearly we're of infinite worth because Jesus came to die for us. It's not saying I'm nothing. Clearly we're capable of acts of kindness. Okay, we're infinitely valuable to God. Humility. Being humble, I believe, means this. To agree with what God says about you and acting it out. To agree with what God says about you and then acting it out. So the first part of humility is to say, I'm a sinner. And to believe that and act it out. Not to be sinful, but to ignore. What you then do, you then say, well, I repent. I repent. Come onto that in a moment. But when we live, when we bring the gospel to those we live amongst, we need to do it on our knees. There's a great evangelist from Sri Lanka called D.T. Niles, and he came up with a fantastic phrase, which I'm sure many of you have heard. It's this: evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's good, isn't it? Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's not a millionaire going and giving some bread to a beggar. Okay? We're all in penury. We're all begging. It's just that some of us know where to find the bread and have received. You see? We've had this picture in the last week, which I thought you might find interesting. Okay. That's, it's called Stairway to the Door. That's the word we've had. And to grasp all that God has for us, we need to be prepared. We're not standing at the top of the cliff telling people how superior and morally superior we are. We need to walk down to where people are, where we are, to get alongside them and say, look, have some bread. Get down on your knees. Have some bread. I've got some bread. Would you like some? You see? Starving people. Give them some bread. Okay? And we need to radically assess where we are. I know this is hard for some people. Some of this find is very difficult. What about all my unsaved friends? What about my unsaved spouse? What about my unsaved children? The Bible does say, without Jesus, they are lost. I'm not being faithful to what the Word of God says if I don't tell you that. The Bible also says this, that God loves them just as much as he loves you, or you, or you, or you, or me. Okay? So we need to trust in his loving care for them too. Okay? But we need to be realistic above all about who we are. That we, us, in God's family, are sinners in need of God's grace. And then, if the kingdom of God comes in our lives, we need to know forgiveness. Because that's another radical thing, isn't it? We're made clean from our sins. You know, some of us carry sins around from years ago that they don't know have been dealt with. Years and years ago, I've come across people who've been carrying a burden for many, many years, and they just need to know the release of God's forgiveness. They haven't forgiven themselves, so they assume God has not forgiven them. God has actually forgiven them. They just need to learn to forgive themselves. Okay. Do you remember the man in Luke 5, the lame man let down through the roof? And if ever was a man radically impacted by the kingdom of God. There was that man. He was let down through the roof. And what did Jesus say to him? What was his problem? You might say, well, that's pretty obvious. He couldn't walk. That wasn't his problem. That was not his problem. His problem was sin. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. That was his problem. Then it was easy peasy for Jesus to say, oh, by the way, get up off your mat and walk. And off he up. Okay? Now, we all concentrate on the miracle, but actually, the key thing was the forgiveness of sins. That was the radical thing he needed to hear. His sins were forgiven. When he knew that, healing was a piece of cake. So, the kingdom of God comes in someone's life. We need humility. We need to be prepared to go down those stairs to where people are, not stand on the top of the cliff. We need a radical assessment of who we are. We need to acknowledge that we're sinners. We need to embrace God's forgiveness. Next, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be impacted radically by the Holy Spirit. There's a famous verse, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Can anybody tell me what Hebrews 13, verse 8 is? Jesus Christ is the... Day. Fantastic. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, actually, if we believe in the Trinity, and hopefully we all do believe in the Trinity here, we can also substitute another two words, the Holy Spirit. Three words. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah? I'd say that's fair, isn't it? That's fair. So we should expect to be impacted by the Holy Spirit in our lives in the same way that Peter and Paul and the early church were impacted. What does Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. We believe in repentance. We believe in baptism. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, we believe you've been forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And my experience is that we can be. That the experience of people in the Acts of the Apostles and in the earlier letters of the church, which are contained in the New Testament, that experience of the Holy Spirit is for now. That is normative. That is the normal Christian life. Okay, I expect that to happen in my life. But you know, it's amazing how often we decide that we want a bit of God, that little bit, but not another little bit. Okay? It's a bit like, just imagine Vera's shoebox, all right? So what Vera does is she gets her shoebox and she goes to Romania or Bulgaria herself and she finds a child and she gives the child the shoebox and the child opens it up, so little smiling faces, and he says, I really like this. Well, I don't like this. I really like this. Not very keen on that. I mean, it'd be a bit of a letdown, wouldn't it? It would be a bit of a letdown. But you know, I see that so often. It's like God has gifts for us. And somebody turns up with loads of presents for me, and I open them up. And then I say, well, this one's really nice, but I don't really like that one. I know you've chosen it for me, but no, it doesn't fit in my house. You can have that present back. And, oh dear, I don't really like that one, you know. It wouldn't look right. It doesn't kind of fit with my personality, you know. And so what we do, we go for the really safe gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll have hospitality and administration and helps and stuff like that, okay? But tongues, if God turns up with tongues or words of knowledge or healing or prophecy, what we say is, do you mind if I leave that gift out? It doesn't quite fit my personality. I'm too introvert. I'm too restrained. I'm too logical. I'm too English. I'm too reserved. Some people might not like it. Some people might not like it. Somebody comes and gives a gift to you and you say, but somebody might not like it. How bizarre is that? Sorry, but it is bizarre. When people encountered the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles, it was a radical process. People were never the same again. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. What was it that convinced Peter and the early church that that Gentiles could become Jews? I'll tell you what happened. It was the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. So do you think they knew that because they'd reached a certain doctrinal position, or they'd said certain words, or they'd got theological concepts sorted out in their minds? Not a bit of it. How did they know? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That's what it was, folks. That's how they knew the Holy Spirit had come on them. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you see? When the Holy Spirit comes on us, it does make a radical difference. Or sorry, he does, but the experience makes a radical difference. You always talk about the Holy Spirit as a he, but the experience, it should make us different. We should be different people. And it does. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Paul makes that perfectly plain. But an awful lot of people do. So please don't be scared of his gifts. You know, don't go for the safe ones. Go for the ones that God has for you. Okay? And he might actually be stretching you and saying, why don't you go for one of the risky ones? Go for the risky ones, you know? Just don't go for the pair of socks, you know? Go for the, I don't know, the three? Go for the lightsaber. Perfect, you know? Absolutely. You know, you might say, you know, let's not go for the coach trip. You know, let's go for the parachute jump, you know? I mean, you can imagine which I go for, obviously. But, okay, so, look, humility. Let's acknowledge we're sinners. Let's receive forgiveness, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just one final thing I want to mention, and then I'm done. The presence of God. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Spending time in the presence of God, I can say from my own personal experience, is absolutely key. When we're in the presence of God, that makes us stay humble. It helps us realize we're sinners. It helps us to know that we need forgiveness constantly, because what happens is God has a sneaky way of putting his finger on those kind of little sins which you'd done the day before but you were trying to forget about. Really good, that. So you keep really short accounts with God. It opens up the possibility of being able to hear from him. It enables us to have amazing worship times and enables us to be refilled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to bring his gospel to our community. So there's fantastic reasons from our point of view to want to spend time with God. But there's another reason, you know. There's a good reason. Okay? He does want to spend time with us. He does. He wants to spend quality time. I want to spend quality time with my children. I love going and seeing them and spending time with them and going on holiday with them. And, you know, we have lovely times. I mean, if you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about, you know. And, you know, please, humor him. You know, he wants to spend time with you. And, you know, I said this before, I often find this hard. I find it hard to sit down for 5 minutes. You know me, those of you who know me. You know, I'm a fidgety kind of person. But actually, if we spend some time with our Heavenly Father every day and realize that we're in the presence of God and hear him, and listen to him, and spend time with him. It is remarkable how that impacts through the day. You don't need to spend, you know, you don't need to read 17 chapters of the Bible, okay? Though I'm up for people reading the Bible every day, obviously. But, okay, you don't need to pray for everybody and share in prayer every day, or pray for all our missionaries, or even pray for the vicar every day. Please do, but you don't have to, okay? But just spend some time, some quality time with God. And if you do that, do you know what? You'll feel a sense of awe. You'll feel a sense of awe. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let me tell you, I've come across something amazing. Anne Humphrey put me onto this, all right? It's called Spotify. Who knows what Spotify is? Spotify is a fantastic little program which you can get. And for free, you can get almost every worship song that's ever been written. You know? So if you don't play an instrument, every hymn, everything you like, okay? And so what I do in the morning, I get up in the morning, and I go into our sitting room, and the first thing I do is I put on Spotify, and I play a song. And just that experience, because I'm kind of a worship-orientated person, I suppose, but that brings me amazingly into the presence of God. It is remarkable. Go and get Spotify. It's completely free, okay? You get the odd advert sometimes, but don't worry, you know, just turn it off before the adverts come, all right? It's really, really great. If you've got one of these things or you've got a computer, just go. Use Spotify. It's God's blessing to me. I'm so glad I've got into it. But just spend time in the presence of God. And it is remarkable how God will speak. It is remarkable. Look, the kingdom of God wants to impact our lives on a deep and lasting basis. Truly, he does. If we don't know the kingdom of God in our lives, we have nothing to say and nothing to give to the people whom we meet. But if we know his kingdom coming in our lives day by day by day, then remarkably, people will see a difference. And you might not be you might not be aware of it because you're kind of used to it, but actually, God will impact not just your life, but the life of the people around you. You see? So look, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, pray through a couple of things. At the end of this service, if God has been speaking to you, please don't walk out the door. Please just don't go and grab a cup of coffee. Come and find me. Come and find the ministry team at the front. They'd love to pray with you. See what God has said and what God has done by prayer. Okay? So come on, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Lord, we want to know that we are in your presence. Your word says that we are, but please come and fill this place now with your Holy Spirit. Every single person here. Pray every single person here may know your Holy Spirit touching our lives right now.